This is The Boss and the Gloss on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Okay, Carla, we all know how much you love your bachelorette. I've got something better for you.
Okay, good.
You do not want to miss the biggest pay-per-view fight of the year. It's this Saturday night. It's Manny Pacquiao versus Keith Thurman.
I love me some Manny Pacquiao.
All right, well, it's this Saturday. It's 9 Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, and it's live on Fox Pay-Per-View. That's Fox Pay-Per-View. Order it now and be sure to watch.
Perfect.
Saturday night coming up. All right, joining us now on SB Nation Radio is Joe McGrain, former Major League Baseball player. Joe, welcome into the show.
Thank you, guys. Great to speak with you. Boss and the Gloss, that is some outstanding branding right there.
I thought so, but just to
guess which one is the Gloss.
Yeah, just to be clear, she's the Gloss.
It doesn't take me long to figure that out.
If you could only see her, you'd really understand.
And you definitely know I'm not the Boss.
Well, Joe, thanks for joining us. I hope you got to see some of that series, Dodgers-Red Sox, of marquee matchup over the weekend. Dodgers came out on top, and I think in Boston they're figuring that, gosh, this was a chance to make a statement, to really come out after the All-Star break with a big series win over the Dodgers, and they let it slip away. What is your takeaway from that series?
Well, it was on a couple of things. First, from the Red Sox standpoint, and when they say the World Series hangover, it's not so much about guys going out and doing the rubber chicken dinners and profiting off an outstanding year. It's more of a pitching staff that their workload gets extended, and it also showed like the great depth that the Dodgers had when, it was moved to a 10-day IL. Andrew Friedman, has been able to, whether you want to use the word manipulate or craft, the 10-day DL to his advantage. So have the Yankees, and it's created great depth between both of those teams, and I don't think, unless you guys have a better idea, whether there's an argument that the Dodgers and Yankees are the two best teams in baseball right now.
Well, they are amazing right now. They're really on a good run. I do want to ask you one more question about the Red Sox, and that's Chris Sale. He's had a really tough season. Red Sox, of course, went out and just traded for a number 5 pitcher, but their fate rests on whether their elite pitchers are going to pitch well. Your former Major League player, ERA winner 1 year. What's wrong with Chris Sale? What does he need to do to get it right?
Well, Chris, for one, to his credit, is very accountable after games. And I saw his little chit-chat with the media afterwards. And he's very hard on himself. And he has high expectations. And he hates it when he has to turn the game over to the bullpen, and he has that delivery where he looks like he's trying to skip a rock across a lake, and there's been 50% of scouts saying that he's going to blow out, and then there's been the other half that said he is going to be fine. We all struggle as pitchers, and the first thing that you go back and you look at the films, the video, when you have not pitched well, and it really gets back to location and favorable counts. You're on the attack when you're 0-1, when you're 0-2, when you're 1-2, and when he's figured out that he doesn't have to throw max velocity every time. I'm not worried really so much about his arm. It's about pitching execution, because if I bring up the name Andrew Friedman again and talking about true number one starters, he would be one of the guys that I would that I would mention, and he's not pitching like one right now because he's not hitting his spots, and sometimes you need just like a little mechanical adjustment to be like a little blankie of confidence to go, okay, I've got it, I have it fixed, I think he's okay, but I think where his pitches are ending up are to the barrel of the hitter.
Those are great points, Joe, and things that definitely to think about going forward here. So we're talking with Joe McGrane, former MLB pitcher, color commentator for all things MLB Network, Olympics, everything else. We've gotten to hear you. Let me ask you, we're hearing a lot of chatter about the long ball. And we're broadcasting here in Houston. Justin Verlander has been especially vocal about it.
Yep.
Home runs are on pace for another record-setting season. And, you know, do you believe, as Justin Verlander has said, that the balls are, they're different? I mean, are they juiced? I know they're talking about the pill in the center is different. What do you think?
I don't think that there was this thing coming from Central Baseball on Park Avenue to say, you know, we have to turn this into a rabbit ball. But one thing I do know, just in the blind field test, if you put a bag of balls, you know, blindfolded, let's just say put 10 of them in there, and when I pitched and 10 of them now, I could pick out the ones that I wanted without ever having to look at it. I think it's silly to say that the ball is exactly the same in the year 2000 than it is in 2019. Like most things manufacturing wise, things get better. The other thing is in the change in style, with most hitters hitting up on the ball and choosing to hit over the shift. The answer to that is right now velocity with pitchers, and they combat that by throwing the ball upstairs in the strike zone. So when you throw up in the strike zone, you don't have to necessarily execute by hitting spots in or out. So hitters are a little bit more confident. They take harder swings. The location is not as good as it was. And the ball is made better, and it has less drag. And I've had it right in my hand. The seams aren't as raised as well, which is one of the reasons why umpires, you know, didn't care when I was playing about pitchers using pine tar to get a better grip on the ball, or nowadays sunscreen and a little mixture, bullfrog sunscreen and a little mixture of that. So I think it is a myriad of things. I don't think there is this conspiracy that the ball has been changed yet to provide more home runs and less strikeouts, because the statistics don't support that. And we all know that baseball is cyclical, and not everybody throws 97, and I think the game is going to kind of roll back and change a little bit more as pitchers learn to execute a little bit more down in the strike zone and make changes, as opposed to just trying to throw the ball as hard as they can for as long as they can. And so many of those balls end up in the middle of the plate, and that's why highlights are what they are.
Joe, I'd love to get your thoughts on kind of the new roles that Major League Baseball has that are being created in Major League Baseball for pitchers, you know, openers versus starters, using starters as closers, which we've seen in even the World Series. Do you prefer the traditional roles, or do you like this evolution of how they're using their pitching lineups?
Well, I had the privilege of broadcasting the Rays for 11 years and seeing them at their absolute worst and their absolute best. And this is an organization where, you know, the other 29 clubs were not working with blinders on. They were watching what the Rays were doing. How were they able to win 90 games last year? How did they do it? And a lot of it happened with a prospect injury, Brent Honeywell, you know, a few years ago, and all of a sudden they're short in their pitching staff, and it almost ended up being a perfect game. Now you're yesterday in Baltimore, so you know you're talking about a guy that goes out there and throws a couple of innings. My opinion on it is, I still, even to this day, being far removed from playing on the field, see myself as a starter. And I commend the Rays for taking a desperation move with losing a couple of their great prospects and figuring out another way to build a better mousetrap with the opener. The only problem is you have a guy that starts the game and he gets into difficulty and it kind of throws out the whole rhythm of what the guy that's following him, the true starter. And it's also a way to put kind of a drag on pitching salaries as well. I commend the Rays for using the system as it is and based on, but if you had five good arms, you would not be, or four good arms, you would not be using the opener.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Joe McGrain, former Major League Baseball player. So I want to ask you, the trade deadline looming now, a couple weeks out. There's just about everybody would love to pick up a top line, front line starter.
Sure.
Trevor Bauer, Madison Baumgartner, Marcus Stroman, Noah Syndergaard, those four names tossed about. To me, Trevor Bauer would be hard for the Indians to trade. They're actually in contention for the postseason. But who do you see as most likely to get moved?
I'm thinking probably the Yankees. I love left-handed pitchers that are swing and miss guys. So I look at Robbie Ray with the Diamondbacks going to the going to the Yankees, and also it seems like Marcus Stroman has done everything but sing the song "I Love New York," and certainly that's another possibility. But the the Indians are, with regards to Trevor Bauer, are playing so well that they don't have to make a move immediately, and they can kind of let the market come to them, that, because if they just get completely knocked over by a great deal, they're certainly going to take it. But why not take another chance at another year of getting to the postseason, because it's going to get very lean for the Indians next year. So why not, why not go all in and keep Trevor Bauer? So if I had to make like a wild prediction, I would say Robbie Ray would be the guy that would be going to the Yankees.
All right, you heard it. That's Joe McGrain. Joe, thank you so much for joining David and Carla here on SB Nation Radio.
All right, keep up the great branding. That's the best I've heard.
Awesome.
I love it. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.